Al-Bayan Radio presents Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi presented by Nidal Ayyubi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Salat wa Salamu ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to our series Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi Rahimuhullah. And today we have reached Hadith 20. If you feel no shame, then do as you wish.
الحديث العشرون عن ابن مسعود عقبة بن عمرو الأنصاري البدري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى إذا لم تستح فاصنع ما شئت. رواه البخاري.
On the authority of Abu Mas'ud Uqba bin Amr al-Ansari al-Badri radiyallahu anh, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, from the words of the previous prophets that the people still find are, if you feel no shame, then do as you wish. And this hadith is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. Now this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, points to one of the most important characteristics a person can possess, and that is the characteristic or the quality of al-haya', which can be translated as modesty, shyness, bashfulness. Imam an-Nawawi rahimahullah, he states that all of Islam revolves around this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now the narrator of this hadith is Abu Mas'ud Uqba bin Amr al-Ansari al-Badri radiyallahu an. And he was a well-known companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was from the tribe of Khazraj, of the Ansar of Medina, and he is known as al-Badri, which means that he attended the Battle of Badr, but actually, as some have mentioned, he did not attend the Battle of Badr, but he was known as al-Badri because he lived close to or around the place of the Battle of Badr. And it was the opinion of some that he actually did participate in the Battle of Badr. However, many of the ulama say that he did not. Wallahu a'lam. Abu Mas'ud was one of the 70 who took part in the second pledge of Al-Aqaba. And he was the youngest one to take the oath or take the pledge. He participated, radiyallahu an, in the Battle of Uhud, as well as the other battles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam which followed. When Ali, radiyallahu an, left Kufa to go to the Battle of Siffin, he left Abu Mas'ud in charge as the governor of Kufa in Iraq. Abu Mas'ud, radiyallahu an, he died in the year 41 or 42 after Hijrah. Now some say that he died in Medina, while others say he died in Kufa. And in the standard books of hadith, there are some 102 hadith attributed to his authority. 9 of his hadith are to be found in both Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, radiyallahu anhu. So the first part of the hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
إِنَّ مِمَّا أَدْرَكَ النَّاسُ مِنْ كَلَامِ النُّبُوَّةِ الْأُولَى.
From the words of the earlier prophets that people still find are, or verily from what was learnt by the people from the speech of the earliest prophecy is. And this phrase means, my dear brothers and sisters, that the statement concerning modesty is something that has been passed on from the earliest prophets. It is part of the legacy of the earlier prophets that people still possess. In other words, the first prophet had made this statement and it continued to be passed on until the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also, as other ulama have said, that the meaning of this phrase is that all of the laws of the earlier prophets agreed upon this principle concerning modesty. So it was stated by the earlier prophets and repeated by all of the later prophets. Hence, all of the prophets praise this great characteristic, this great quality of shyness and modesty, and ordered their followers to have this attribute. So in other words, also we can understand from this that this principle was never abrogated in any of the laws of the prophets. Now before we move on to the next part of the hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, what is al-haya'? What does it mean? In order for us to completely understand the next part of the hadith, we must know what is al-haya'? What is modesty? What is shyness? Now if we were to look into the meaning of the word haya', we will see that it has been defined as shame, a sense of shame, shyfulness, bashfulness, and particularly, but not always, honest shame or modesty. And also, a shrinking of the soul from foul conduct through fear of blame. And the most common translations we find for al-haya is modesty, shame, shyness, or bashfulness. And the word al-haya is derived from al-hayat, which means life. As if the person who has no haya, no modesty, is like a dead person. In fact, my dear brothers and sisters, if our hearts don't contain this quality of modesty, then in fact, they are dead. But if we possess this characteristic and quality of modesty and shame, then our hearts, by the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be sound and healthy. And the more we possess this great quality, then the healthier our heart will be. And the less that we have of this quality, then the less true life we have and the less health our heart possesses. And that's why it's reported that Umar radiallahu an said, if a person has little haya, he will have little wara, which is fear of Allah and a feeling of his presence. And the one who has little wara, his heart has died. So in essence, my dear brothers and sisters, this haya, it is the feeling in the heart that keeps a person away from performing evil deeds. And as the ulama have said, my dear brothers and sisters, al-haya is a attribute that truly distinguishes a human from an animal. In general, animals follow their desires or instincts without any feeling of what they did is right or wrong. They do not feel any shame in their actions. And that's why the less haya a person possesses, the closer he comes to the level of the animals rather than being a moral human being. So my dear brothers and sisters, the word haya should be understood to mean, as we mentioned, shame, modesty, shyness, and being morally conscious. It is the factor in the person's heart that keeps him or her from behaving in just any way that his desires or lusts should lead him, or in the way others may prompt him to behave. It is the factor that controls his or her behavior and keeps him or her from performing acts that are considered distasteful and lewd. And as we know, my dear brothers and sisters, Islam encourages and treasures al-haya, or modesty and shyness. It is one of the most important characteristics that each and every Muslim should acquire and possess. And there are many, many hadith that speak about the quality of al-haya. From them is haya, modesty, and iman, faith, are two that go together. If one is lifted, the other is also lifted. As is recorded by Al-Hakim and graded as Sahih by Sheikh Al-Albani in Sahih Al-Jami' rahimuhullah. Also, al-haya is part of iman, as is found in Sahih Muslim. And also, haya does not produce but goodness, as is found in Bukhari and Muslim. So after briefly defining what is al-haya and mentioning some ahadith about the topic, what does the next part of the hadith mean, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says,
إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِ فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْ.
If you feel no shame, then do as you wish. Now, due to the form of the text, it may be interpreted in many possible meaningful ways. Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he pointed out two of the interpretations of the earlier scholars. The first interpretation was, if you have no modesty, then do whatever you wish and Allah will punish you for what you do. This mode of expression is well known in the Arabic language and is used for threatening someone. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fussilat, ayah 40,
اعملوا ما شئتم إنه بما تعملون بصير.
Do whatever you want, he is certainly all-seeing of what you do. And this is a severe threat to the disbelievers. Another interpretation is, if you are contemplating an act, and it is an act such that there is no reason to be ashamed of doing it before Allah or the people, then you may do that act. Here, modesty is used as a way to judge your certain act. In other words, whether to do this act or not do this act. So the command here is in the form of displaying permission. And there are other interpretations, such as the interpretation given by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, who is on the view that the command is not what is meant by this statement. Instead, it is a statement of fact. The meaning is, if a person does not have any modesty, then there is nothing to prevent him or her from doing anything. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, al-haya is one of the most important factors that keeps a person from committing a sinful act. If a person has no haya, no shyness, no modesty, then he will basically do almost anything. We seek Allah's protection. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, there are two aspects to al-haya: natural modesty and shyness, and acquired haya. The latter is attained as a result of knowing and realizing the glory of Allah and His attributes. So some people are naturally born with a certain level of modesty and shyness. And we are all born with a level of shyness. And there's the acquired haya, which we mentioned, can be attained and worked on and increased by knowing Allah, realizing the glory and might and power of Allah and the beauty and magnificence of His names and beautiful attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, there are many manifestations of hayat, such as the following. Having hayat towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Muslim should feel ashamed to have Allah see him doing or saying or doing anything that Allah does not like, that Allah is displeased with, especially when you are alone and only Allah sees you. Secondly, hayat towards the angels, having shyness towards the angels, as they are noble and dignified creatures who witness the acts performed by humans. Also, having modesty and shyness towards other humans. And this is an essential characteristic that keeps people from harming one another and from performing indecent acts. And also, we should have hayat towards ourselves. A person should be ashamed of himself when he performs an act that is shameful. Therefore, if a person notices that his hayat level, his modesty level is low, then they should work on improving it by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting close to Him and fearing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, as we know today, there is a battle between those who are promoting al-haya, modesty and shyness and bashfulness, and those who are trying to destroy it at its core, to make a person basically animal-like in that he just follows his lusts and desires regardless of the consequences to himself and the community at large. So this great concept of haya or modesty should be promoted everywhere, my dear brothers and sisters. And we should use all possible means, and at all levels, we should promote this concept of haya. Whether we are educators, teachers, lecturers, parents, dua, preachers, coaches, or whatever. Because sadly today we see, especially with the spread of social media and the misuse of technology, this great concept of modesty and shyness is being targeted and threatened. And this is why there is a greater responsibility for all Muslims, especially the dua, the preachers, the parents and educators. They have a great responsibility now to spread and teach and motivate and encourage others with this great quality and characteristic of haya. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, before we conclude, haya sometimes can be abused as a justification for not doing something or giving up an obligatory act. For example, being silent or passive in the presence of falsehood or oppression for no reason except haya, or that you are shy, or using haya as an excuse for not encouraging the good and discouraging evil. Now, obviously, there are rules and there are methods when enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, because sometimes we have to consider the most likely consequences, whether there is a benefit or harmful consequences when enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. And inshallah, this will be addressed in an upcoming lesson. And also, my dear brothers and sisters, shyness and modesty should not be used as a reason not to seek knowledge and ask questions whilst maintaining the correct Islamic etiquette and manners. We should seek knowledge, and being shy and modest should never ever prevent us from knowing the haq, knowing the truth. To summarize and conclude, my dear brothers and sisters, al-haya or modesty is a great Islamic concept that leads to goodness and keeps a Muslim away from doing a bad or indecent act when its level is maximized. Treating bad actions as shown by revelation as evil acts and feeling ashamed of Allah to do it and ashamed of the community are ways of acquiring haya. Iman and haya, belief and modesty, are linked. When there is iman, there is haya and vice versa. And all of us, my dear brothers and sisters, are born with natural haya, with natural modesty and shyness. However, it is subject to being spoiled due to environment and dominating ideologies. Also, the misuse of social media and technology has its negative and destructive impact on modesty. Therefore, as Muslims, we need to be aware of such challenges and exert our efforts to overcome them. And finally, my dear brothers and sisters, modesty and shyness cannot be used as an excuse for not doing good acts and good deeds. We ask Allah to increase us in this great quality of modesty and shyness. Wallahu alam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.